children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Matt's weekly radio show, Family Matters. Matt, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, Saving Kids. We are in our 21st year, and our confidential number is 718-758-0400. We are a referral organization. We offer support group referrals. We have a helpline. We're in the yeshivas doing programs with elementary and high school age members. And we do parenting programs in the community. If anyone is interested in having a program in their school, PTA, or in your neighborhood, call Mass. And I am going to give you the number again. Jot it down. Maybe you need it for yourself or some family member or a neighbor, someone you sit next to in shul. Write down our number. 718-758-0400. Tonight, I have on with me a very dear friend, a colleague, Rabbi Meir Kessler from the Jewish Recovery Center. Welcome, Rabbi Kessler.
Thank you, Mrs. Klatman.
It's so nice to have you on. You've been working with Jewish Recovery for the last 14 years, your center, and my listeners want to hear all about your program. Can you please give us the background, when you started, where it's located, and who goes to your center? What are the kinds of folks that you are able to help in your center, please?
We're located in Boca Raton, Florida. The New York Times coined Boca Raton, or coined Palm Beach County, the mecca of recovery. And many, many treatment centers and halfway houses and a lot of recovery-oriented programs down here. And as a result of that, a lot of Jewish people come here to gain sobriety and recovery. Coming down here 15 years ago, we realized the need for spirituality or Jewish spirituality and recovery, and we opened up something called the Jewish Recovery Center, helping those in treatment or helping families get into treatment centers. As a result of that, as a result of the amount of people that are religious or not religious but Jewish that needed sober homes, we've opened up sober homes as well to facilitate Jewish recovery. Hello?
Rabbi Kessler. For my audience that's just tuning in, we have Rabbi Kessler from the Jewish Recovery Center. I would like you to please explain how the rehabs allow some of their clients to visit in your center over the Shabbos. Can you explain it? Because a lot of parents and loved ones are always concerned, will their family member have access to a rabbi, to a shul, to a meal Friday night or Shabbos? So let my audience know about the wonderful program that you offer around your communities for these rehabs.
So back in the day when I first started, the phone calls that would come into our center were parents who had their children in rehab centers, and they would look up on the Chabad.org website or the closest Chabad rabbi, and I was located in East Ore. So instead of your regular phone calls that were coming into my office, they were primarily phone calls of family members, concerned family members with youngsters or loved ones in treatment. And the phone calls were like, can you help them with a Seder? Can you help my daughter's in a halfway house, or she just ran away from the halfway house. Can you help with helping with those elements? And over the years, I realized, like I said before, the crucial necessity for Jewish recovery and Jewish spirituality. So we developed a rapport with different treatment centers down here. I developed some contacts and reciprocal relationships with the treatment centers down here, where I would provide Jewish spirituality and Jewish recovery to these treatment centers. And we became a chaplain to treatment centers down here, and they've built trust in our organization, where every Shabbat or every Friday night, they come and celebrate Shabbos at those who are Orthodox. I keep Shabbos, stay in sober homes that we have. We have a Shabbos home as well for people that keep Shabbos to participate in a regular Shabbos, a regular Yom Tovim. For example, right now, we're preparing for almost 200 people to come to the Seder, and then for the following Seder, we have those that need to stay over. We have created an environment for them to help them have with the starim and the meals during the in between meals as well, the day meals. And the more importantly, a community of Jewish recovering alcoholics and addicts, so they can feed off, gain support from, engage in camaraderie and fellowship, and just be part of a community in recovery, which is very important.
Yeah, that is very important. The fellowship for somebody that is in recovery. Your program is 12-step program. Is that correct?
We facilitate 12-step programs, AA meetings, NA meetings, whatever fellowship people are part of. I relate to work with the 12-step program, but it's not the metric for our recovery program. We work with them.
But
we don't necessarily work with
right,
12-step program.
Right, but it's offered for those that
for
are
sure.
in recovery and follow the
it's encouraged.
Steps.
Absolutely. It's strongly encouraged, yeah. In our sober home, for example, they have to go to 5 meetings a week, and they're usually recovery meetings of a 12-step
Five meetings a week in your recovery home. And how long does somebody able to stay in your recovery home?
So there's a minimum mandatory stay of between... The minimum mandatory is 3 months, and usually people stay between 3 and 6 months, maybe sometimes longer. It's not treatment. It's just living life in the context of recovery with other people that are in recovery, early recovery, where they can get the chizuk from each other, and continue living their lives, what they've learned in treatment, apply it day to day.
Right. So a lot of parents usually... that, you know, they'll put their loved ones into a rehab, and after 30, 60, 90 days minimum or longer, and they've spent so much money, they always think that when they come out, then they're fine, they're completely healed. And what we try and explain to families about that is that they need a transition into society, and a sober living environment is the best way for them to do it. Is yours only male, female? What is your program?
We had a male and female program, and we had to shut down the female program for unforeseen circumstances. Right now we have a male program. There is a female program across the street from us, walking distance from our shul and our community, but it's not under our jurisdiction. So we use that in the meantime to deal with the Jewish girls that are Orthodox and that need to have the ability to keep Shabbos and Yom Tov.
And Rabbi Kessler, you just had an amazing, amazing Shabbaton. I'd like you to talk about what happened. It just was a week or two ago. I remember I couldn't make it, but I heard that it was amazing, and it's been so many years, right? You're doing this for several years, and tell the listeners what goes on at these Shabbatons.
So it was our 7th year that we've done the Jewish Recovery Shabbaton. And the idea of the Shabbaton is to normalize the process of recovery. For many, many years in the Jewish community, somebody living in recovery was relegated to second-class status at best. They would have, the fact that they're in recovery would be exposed, it would affect them in shidduchim. And I know this firsthand with the many shidduchim calls that would come my way. So the objective of I feel, at least one of the objectives and one of the main objectives of the recovery program, of the recovery retreat, is to normalize the process of recovery. Somebody who's working a program, who's working on him or herself perpetually, analyzing him or herself, when doing something wrong, promptly admitting when wrong, doing a cheshbon and nefesh every minute, is a beautiful, beautiful person. And that's somebody that should be accepted in society and should be looked up to in society. Unfortunately, in our world, it's the opposite. There's somebody who's engaging in drinking and, you know, benign drugging. Let's just use that term, marijuana use today. It became acceptable. That's okay. And it's accepted amongst the Amoinam, amongst the most people. But if somebody wants to stop drinking or stop using marijuana, then it becomes a question, why does he or she want to stop? And all the questions become very important, and the shidduchim questions come up, why, you know, what's going on with this person. So the objective of the retreat is to actually normalize the process and put them on a pedestal, that these are people that, that should be looked up to, who are perpetually working on themselves. So what goes on there is many people come and celebrate recovery. That's the objective. It's not about the muck. It's not about the problems, the celebration of recovery and the celebration of staying wholesome, upstanding, and ethical and moral.
And you had an amazing lineup. Lou Abrams is involved for so many years in recovery, helping these families. I know he speaks so highly of the program always. Menachem Pitnansky from the Living Room and many others that are available in the community, locally in New York, to help families with their loved ones that are in need of addiction recovery process. So mm-hmm. anybody that wants to reach Rabbi Meir Kessler from the Jewish Recovery Center, Rabbi Kessler, can you give out your number, please?
You can reach us at www.jewishrecovery.com. There you'll find all the contact information, telephone number, any resources that you need. All you need to go is to jewishrecovery.com. All the pertinent information can be found there. While I have you on the phone, Ruchama, I want to also mention the fact the work that you do. We've heard about your work. It's tremendous, tremendous. You've been a trailblazer in this industry, starting many, many years ago when it wasn't exactly so out there, when the problem wasn't accepted, where there's not billions of, wasn't billions of dollars thrown at this epidemic. It was a very, what could be perceived as a small problem where the Jewish community was in denial, much more denial than they are now. And you and your organization were trailblazers in helping people in recovery. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the work that MASC has done.
Thank you, Yashkoach. So, yeah, MASC, 21 years ago when I started it, I named it MASC to take off our mask of denial, the community, each person, their mask, and it was mothers and fathers aligned saving kids. And kids could be of any age. I want my listeners to know that years ago when I started it, it was young, you know, 17, 18-year-old, 16-year-old. Today, we have very young. There are 13 and 14-year-olds that are getting their hands on alcohol, on drugs, and we must be more aware, the awareness, and talk about it in the community, not in Brooklyn, everywhere. We get calls from around the world. So, Yashar Koach to you, Rabbi Kessler, for doing it for so many years, 14 years, and I know your program is wonderful and saved so many lives. You should continue to have the Koach do what you do with all your volunteers as well.
Amen. Thank you.
I really want to address very important the issue of the 4 cups of wine that we are taught that we have at our Tzedarim, or in Israel, one Seder. So let's talk about the issue of a lot of wine being available around the table. We're sitting with a lot of family members, some of us, and there are those that maybe should not be drinking alcohol, whether you're a host or a hostess of people that come in. We must make available alcohol-free drinks, grape juice. There are so many different kinds, and I would like to mention that it's important to offer it to every guest, because one doesn't know who is struggling with being an alcoholic, struggling with it. So, Rabbi Kessler, talk, please, for my listeners. Let them know the message that you want them to hear about the importance of the Sederim and the other times that we need to have Kiddush. There are so many meals this holiday of Pesach, and it's hard for those that are struggling. If you can please give that message of importance to my listeners.
Okay, so 5 years ago, we started a campaign in Boca Raton, in Delray Beach, that every family that's hosting a Seder should have an alternative to wine, and a different grape beverage. For the very simple reason that you never know who's sitting around your table. And if there's no other alternative, people who shouldn't be drinking wine can start drinking wine, and that could be the beginning of their demise. And this is not just a hyperbole talk or, you know, big deal. It's happened. We've seen it. And people have literally lost their lives as a result of the Passover Seder. Just a month ago, we went through Pesach. We went through Purim. And it was a youngster, and I'm going to tell you a story that happened to us. It was a youngster that was in early recovery, and he was vacillating between if he's an addict or he's not an addict, if he's an alcoholic or not. And us in the field, we believe, even though it's a self-diagnosed disease, that you have to come to terms with it on your own. But we really believe that this person shouldn't be drinking or using. But he wasn't sure. Anyway, he went to a Purim party, and the rabbi at the Purim party was encouraging him to drink, and he was like, nah, I don't drink. But, you know, the encouragement, it's Purim is Adela Yada, and he continued to encourage him, and he drank, fell prey, and today he's back in treatment because of his life. Thank God we were able to catch it before it really, really got out of hand. But these are the little nuances that people don't understand. If somebody's addicted to alcohol, an alcoholic, it's poison for them, and therefore you never know who's sitting around the table. You must have an alternative without them feeling embarrassed. So if there's just a bottle of grape juice on the table where they can make arbicosis on grape juice, it's very, very important to have that on the table, because you never know who and what's going. Today, this disease is all over the place, and you never know who's sitting around your table. So it's of paramount importance to have a great beverage that doesn't contain any alcohol on your table for somebody to do the arbicosis.
Absolutely. And Jay Bookstam from Kedem always speaks about the different kinds that are available. So go out there, everybody, get a bottle of grape juice so that, or a few bottles actually, if you're having guests that you're not sure about their struggles, and make it available. But there's one more thing that we need to talk about, and that is the unattended alcohol at the end of the night that's left out and open, and we all go to sleep 12, 1, 2 a.m., and there may be alcohol left out. There are those that should not have it. We know that. So we must make sure that before we all go to sleep, we put away all the open alcohol and we lock it up in a safe place so that nobody gets their hands on it, because I know that I had a neighbor who many years ago, a 15-year-old young boy shared with me that he was thirsty and he loved the taste of the red wine, and it was open in the refrigerator on the door, and when he was 12 years old, he used to drink it when nobody saw him. And believe it or not, at 15, he ended up in a rehab for young adolescents because he became an alcoholic at a very, very young age. So this is very serious, having open alcohol, and we want to make sure that people take it seriously, go out, buy some grape juice, so that there are options for those that may need it. Rabbi Kessler, again, your website, please.
www.jewishrecovery.com.
Rabbi Kessler, how many people showed up this year at your Shabbaton?
We had 270 adults and 60 children. And the reason for the children is, again, the spirit of normalizing the process. It's a celebration. So we asked the people that have children to bring their children. And it was a very nice program, a parallel program for children as well. So it was the most attended retreat thus far. And we're looking for a new facility next year, or a new venue next year, to even grow larger. And it's been a beautiful ride, starting with back in the day when Rabbi Tversky would come, and he was the highlight to our retreat. And then, like you mentioned before, we have Lou Abrams and Menachem Poznanski and Rabbi Chase Taub and many others, Rabbi and Rabbi Kaplan from the downtown Jewish Center. They're amazing as well, very inspirational in providing camaraderie and chizuk and spirituality throughout the weekend. It was really, really, really an amazing weekend where people celebrated their brokenness. You know, you have in a regular society, in shuls or in clubs, people come and celebrate their achievements in life. People will celebrate the fact that they're great golfers, or great doctors, or great lawyers, or even great rabbis, or great learners, or whatever it may be. So a celebration of an achievement. This is a celebration of brokenness. And it's the most spiritual place, I believe, on planet Earth. People come and celebrate the fact that they were broken, the fact that they were on their knees, and then and life really brought them to a bottom. And they're celebrating the fact that they're able to come out of this bottom. It's the most spiritual place on planet Earth, and the spirituality that goes on there. And God can be found there in the most amazing levels. And that's why you have people talking about the weekend in ways that our mind are shocking, so to speak.
Right. And do you want to address the issue of drugs as well, not just alcohol, please?
What do you mean, address?
Not everybody that comes is an alcoholic. Some of them are addicted.
Most of them are. Most 95% of the people that come have drug problems. The alcoholic problem is not as great today.
Right.
It's a big problem. I'm not minimizing that problem at all. But the opiate problem is the epidemic. The opiate problem are killing our kids every day. And it's a tremendous problem. I don't know if I gave off the impression that it's primarily alcoholics that we're dealing with. That was the wrong impression, and that needs to be corrected. The issue at hand that we're dealing with primarily, and what's so... the epidemic is the opiate crisis, because it's unfortunately laced with carfentanil out there. For those who don't know what it is, it's a horse tranquilizer that the drug is laced with, and it's killing our kids. Unfortunately, the drugs that can be found on the streets today are way more potent than they ever were, and unfortunately, it's more deadly than it ever was. Back in the day, 14 years ago, we had something we call tough love. We would try to put people on the street where they would, you know, realize how difficult life is, and they would want to come back because of takeaway. We would infuse artificial stresses in the youngster's life, where you would take away all the enablement and allow them to figure out life on their own. And then realizing that they can do life on their own, they would want to come back and try to get help. That was one of the techniques employed in allowing somebody to get the treatment that they really need. And that has stopped completely, because nobody has the broad enough shoulders to put somebody on the street like that. And we try everything we can to put people in treatment without putting them on the street, because it's so deadly out on the street. What was used to be 95% chance of making it today is like 50-50, while using heroin or anything else out there to come out on the other side of life. So clearly that is the killer of epic proportions.
Right, and I just wanted my listeners to understand that it's not just alcohol, that it's the drugs. And the reason we're talking about the alcohol, and we focused on that at the beginning of the show, is because we are going to go into this Dharam Pesach. It's going to be four cups that we all drink. And I wanted everyone to be aware of the fact that there are people struggling and that we really need to have grape juice, alternative drinks, for the person that is in recovery. And MASC offers free naloxone training, which helps for prevention of opiate overdose. If someone is interested in getting a free kit and trained on how to administer the naloxone, feel free to call MASC 718-758-0400. We can come to your home. We can tell you where you can pick it up, whatever is most convenient for you. So, again, write down our number in case you may know someone that is struggling and needs a referral, needs a group, needs a sober living, needs a rehab. Please write down MASC's number. Maybe it's for yourself, someone you know, a neighbor, someone sitting next to you in shul. Our confidential number is 718-758-0400. Or to reach Rabbi Meir Kessler from the Jewish Recovery Center, Rabbi Kessler will give out his information.
Again, it's Rabbi Kessler. I mean, my email address is info@jewishrecovery.com. That's info@jewishrecovery.com. The website is www.jewishrecovery.com. I don't know if there are any Florida listeners, but if there are, we have the Narcan training as well. And if you need Narcan or anything like that, if you think that there's somebody in your house that are susceptible to overdoses, you can always call and get the pick up the Narcan kit and get Narcan training from us as well.
Great. And for our listeners, if you want to help sponsor someone to go to sober living or rehab and help continue with the program, please go online, www.maskparents.org. And Rabbi Meir Kessler, I want to thank you, and I wish you and your guests, your family, and all my listeners, a Chag Kosher v'Sameach. I want to thank you for being with us tonight, Rabbi Kessler.
Thank you. To you as well, a Chag Kosher v'Sameach, a Kosher v'Elchim Pesach.
Amen. Thank you, and have a good evening, good Shabbos, and a wonderful Yontif.
This is Rabbi Lazer Aftson from the Global Jewish Assistance and Relief Network, helping needy families in Israel in the most dignified and transparent way with our unique program, the Food Card. The Food Card is a smart card enabling people, needy families, approved by ministries of welfare in Israel, to go and purchase foods of their choice, their hechsher, their taste, their flavors, with full dignity, without signing papers or vouchers or forms at the counter. They go, they choose the foods of their choice, and they go to the counter and take the foods home. Please help us by calling 1-833-GIVE-MONEY, 1-833-GIVE-MONEY. Operators are standing by to take your call and your credit card information so that we can help families immediately. Alternatively, you can go online to our website, www.globaljewish.org, click on Moed Chitim campaign, and help families in Israel right now. Again, that's www.globaljewish, one word, globaljewish.org. Click on the Moed Chitim campaign and help a family in Israel today. Thank you.
TCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.